Coming up on the local news hour, maybe a little bit more interesting here, I've got Summit County Community Development Director Pat Putt online. We'll be talking about some of the development projects throughout the county. Later on, National Ability Center Director Kevin Stickelman with an update about how the COVID-19 situation is impacting the NAC community and how they're responding with virtual events. Then Park City High School teacher Steve Cutita, Megan McKenna, along with Wasatch High School math teacher Carrie Bala, talking about their experiences as teaching as students are now learning remotely. Stay tuned. Well, joining me now on the phone, I have Summit County Community Development Director Pat Putt. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, so any new developments crossing your counter, or things really slowed down given the...
Well, no new large hotel, residential, resort, or commercial projects per se coming in these last couple of weeks. We are seeing what I'd call probably a steady stream of lower level normal business, a number of plat amendments coming through the process. And this is kind of typical as we head into the spring and the summer months where people are building and they need to do some sort of adjustment to accommodate their construction. Might be the relocation of a driveway, maybe, you know, a combination of lot lines. So we're seeing a steady flow of that. We're also getting in, you know, the to-be-expected low-impact permit, things like accessory dwelling units, some seasonal farm sales, additions, those sorts of things. And we continue to see, we're contacted by property owners and developers wanting to set up meetings to talk about projects still. What makes it a little bit different is, you know, the format that we do that has changed. You know, we 3 weeks ago, I've never heard of Zoom, but now I'm living it on a daily basis. And so we're meeting sort of through internet platforms to do this. I wouldn't say that we've accelerated, but I wouldn't say that we've slowed down in any respect either.
So is that what we're going to be using then for future Planning Commission meetings?
I think so. Unless somebody comes up and drops on our lap a better platform, I think we will be using Zoom. I know that the County Council's been using it the last couple weeks, as have, I believe, the Park City Council. Right now, as we head into April for the Snyderville Basin Planning Commission in the east side, we have not scheduled any public hearings for the month of April. And simply that's because of the fact, it's more of a practical fact, that the noticing deadline for all the public hearings are behind us. I still believe that there may be a possibility come the end of the month that we may do some work sessions with the Planning Commission, particularly on the Snyderville side. It'll be a way for us kind of pilot the Zoom platform for public meetings. You know, when it's a work session type item where there is a presentation and then brief Q&A, it seems to work pretty well. For public hearings, it gets a lot more complicated. And it's not that we can't do a public hearing with it. It just, I think they're going to be a bit trickier, a bit more tedious for everybody involved, the commission and the public, and probably a bit more time consuming with that. And, you know, we've got probably applications on the horizon that it's going to be critical to have public input on, some code changes. Certainly, you know, we've got Colby School on the basin side that's still out there. We've got some projects on the east side, and we really want to be certain that when it comes to public hearing, that we have fair and accessible access to the process for people. I think we can do it, and we're working towards that, but I wouldn't anticipate any public hearings until May.
Okay. Then in terms of still the work that your building inspectors need to do, are they taking any special precautions as they have to visit sites?
Yeah, those are the people. I care about all my staff. I really, really care about the inspectors right now because they don't have the luxury to do their inspections from a home office, and they're out amongst the people and out amongst, you know, construction job sites. We have a meeting every morning at 8 o'clock. Actually, it's going on right now. My colleagues are doing it as you and I are on the radio. But we have a meeting every morning at 8 o'clock, and we have a pretty concise agenda. The first thing is just to check in on the inspectors and see how they're doing. Is everybody healthy? Is everybody okay? Are there, you know, resources that they need? We've been trying to keep them well supplied with everything from hand sanitizers to gloves to masks if they feel they're in situations where they need to utilize those. We talk about the scheduling of the day to kind of coordinate who's going to be where, and then kind of check in on them. Are they seeing any problems, any issues? You know, the Board of Health and County Council have adopted some protocols for construction sites as part of the public health order. We always check in with the inspectors to see, you know, how those are going. Now, they're not out doing specific inspections or trolling for the compliance with all those protocols. That said, you know, there are eyes and ears on the job sites. To date, you know, we've been in this now for about 10 days. We haven't determined any significant problems, any gross violations. I know the call center has gotten some calls from some folks, but right now, everybody seems to be doing what they need to be doing. We've been working really closely, not only with our colleagues in Park City, but with the Park City Home Builders Association, the Association of General Contractors in Utah, and everybody gets it, what and how we need to be doing business in and around construction sites. And I can't say enough about the inspectors, the job that they're doing, and the professionalism that they're doing it with. So they seem to be doing okay.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you're not seeing any new large developments kind of crossing the counter. But we did have a lot of stuff kind of underway, and that, of course, development there at the Canyon. So what's the plan for that?
There's still all that construction at the Canyon is still coming out of the ground right now. That's a bulk of our inspection levels is focused in that area. But again, it's not the only area where we're doing building. We're still seeing a sizable amount of residential construction going on, and we're still receiving new building permit applications coming in online across our E360 application platform. We're still busy.
Yeah, I was guessing though that employee housing project, the 1,100 plus beds, was supposed to get underway this spring. No,
that's a really good question. The anticipated schedule for that had an April start. I have not heard a recent status from that. I'd be happy to come back and report back on you, but I have not heard an update on that.
Okay, and we also have lots happening at Silver Creek Village. Anything different there, or are they just full speed ahead?
No. Mountainlands Community Housing is moving forward with some of their work. Garbett Homes is still building homes out there. They're beginning to get certificates of occupancy on those. We're seeing additional permits for the Garbett Homes coming in, so you're going to be witnessing more vertical construction out there through the spring and the summer. At least that's how it looks to me right now.
Okay. And then any other construction hotspots that we're seeing in the county?
No, nothing really more than what we just talked about here a few minutes ago. I think everybody is waiting to see where we are in the next several weeks and through the month of April. The crystal ball for all of us is a little bit cloudy, but what we can see is what's in front of us. And on a building side, we're still very busy. On a planning side, I certainly haven't seen a dip. I know by the time and everybody's got our fingers crossed that we move through this quicker rather than, you know, a longer time frame, but
I think we're going to see some planning commission meetings that are going to get busy again. We're going to try and feather the throttle moving in towards the end of April and into May to take care of a lot of the work session stuff that we can. But, you know, ultimately we're going to be having to do some public hearings. And if we have to do it via Zoom, we're going to do the very best job we can to schedule them in a manner where the public doesn't have a diminished experience and a chance to be involved in those.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
No, I just would caution everybody who's within the sound of your and my voice, if they're involved in some sort of, you know, construction activity, be mindful of, you know, all those social distancing protocols. We have a daily briefing through the Emergency Operations Center, and what we are hearing both from Rich Bolo and Phil Bondurant and the folks from the state is this appears to be working. And if we're going to be getting through this, we just have to stay the course. You know, folks in Summit County and, you know, in Parkites, we're not hardwired to having our sense of mobility limited. We need to be really, really understanding of this and be smart in how and when we move. But I think we're going to get through this.
Okay. Pat Putt, Summit County Community Development Director. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie. Stay safe out there.
Well, as we've been reporting, everything is different due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And for those at the National Ability Center, it's no different. On the phone with an update, I have Executive Director Kevin Stickelman. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Leslie.
So how is the NAC being impacted by the COVID-19 situation?
Well, I think like all the other businesses in town, we've had certain impacts with these stay-at-home orders. And, you know, we fall under some categories that the city and county have asked to shut down: recreation centers, gyms, some of those community meeting areas all really describe our programs and our facilities well. So we have been closed for about 3 weeks now. This is actually ending the third week of suspension of operations.
Yeah. So can some of your programs, especially those which may serve those with PTSD, get reopened?
Absolutely. We have shifted as much as we can here in the short term to online, whether it's through Zoom platforms or interactive Facebook or YouTube. We still have programs that are being pushed out there digitally through the content we've put together several times a week. And we're trying to get together with some of our groups like DCL online, face-to-face, to keep some of that support going, even in this time where we can't meet face-to-face.
So before we get to some of those programs, tell me a little bit about your staff. Of course, you've got a number of horses there, so you've got some staff on hand working, yeah?
We do. Some of our critical staff that are allowed under the stay-at-home orders. Our equestrian team is still there feeding and exercising horses every day. We have facilities team still on site, you know, making sure that water heaters aren't leaking and that the systems are all still staying on and functioning. And we still have a little bit of construction that's being buttoned up here this spring as well with that expansion of our rec center there at the ranch in Round Valley.
Okay. And that's it then? Is that the final piece of construction there at Round Valley?
You know, it's not. We have a couple more projects, the campground and the camps and community program building, which were slated, the community program building is slated to start construction in 2021. So we would have a lighter construction summer this summer planned anyway, and then next year would be another big wave that comes in. So that's not really, put a wrench in any of those plans at all at this point.
Yeah. So has this put this outbreak put the brakes on the planning for the parking lot development at Park City Mountain?
You know, we had a really good meeting with PEG and with Park City Mountain just before all of this, you know, really got heated up in the Park City area. And we're still working through some of those solutions with PEG right now. But obviously, we have not been able to meet with them face to face in the last few weeks just due to the situation that has arisen since then, but still have seen some emails circulating and still are circulating information back and forth with the resort and the city as well. So all that stuff is moving forward. I would say it's slowed down in its process at this point, however.
All right. Well, let's just talk about some of the virtual programs that you're providing. I know you've got tomorrow night a social dancing, is what you're calling. It's a dance party via Facebook?
via Facebook, and there's also, for some of our participants who are regular to our programs, there's also a Zoom session so they can be interactive with one another during this dance party. But yeah, we've hosted, you know, some videos. We've done some online yoga sessions. How to Tune Your Mountain Bike was another program that was really well attended online the end of last week. And there's more and more of that that's coming up, you know, over the next few weeks here until we can get people back in our programs.
So are these just all live programming, or can people maybe go back and watch that, How to Tune Your Mountain Bike? That would give some people...
Yeah, you can go back and watch that. And as a matter of fact, the NAC newsletter, if you're on our email list that went out this week, includes links to a lot of those programs. But you can go back and look on our Facebook account or YouTube accounts and find links in previous posts and rewatch all of those videos.
Okay. And again, so Saturday night, 6 to 7. So tell me about how you're making this work, because you do have a DJ that you've hired.
We do. So DJ Doff, who has done things like our Red, White, and Snow After Party, is actually volunteering his services to put on an interactive dance party online. And we've seen this happen with other organizations, you know, across the country who have had to cancel certain events and, you know, maybe it's school dances and things like that. And so we're doing that for our community. Every spring, for the last couple of years, we've done a NAC prom for our participants. And this year, we're trying to move what would have been that event into this online interactive event with the DJ and dancing and the whole bit.
Okay. And then you've also started a series of virtual weekly meditations. Those are happening Thursday afternoons, this Thursday?
That's correct. And all of that information you can find on our social media pages. Like I said, our newsletters that we're trying to push out with a little more frequency now, just to keep people informed of those upcoming dates and times.
Okay. What's your best guess when you guys get to reopen?
You know, Leslie, I don't know. We're still hoping that summer programs will go off without a hitch at this point, but it really depends on how quickly this curve flattens and how quickly we can get our staff back to work and our participants into a safe environment when they come back. You know, I think it's also worth saying that right now in this, time of crisis that we're in with the community, we're trying to step up in other ways. We've been coordinating for the last couple of days with Intermountain Healthcare and are in the process of opening our facilities at the ranch up to some of those doctors, nurses, and hospital staff who can't go home and see their families. So we'll see the NAC supporting the medical community here is providing care for all of those sick that are staying at the hospital. And that, you know, more details will be coming out on that in the next couple of days as we start to see those doctors and nurses move into our lodge out there in Round Valley.
Wow. So kind of their new families there at the NAC, huh?
That's exactly right. And they're going through some of the same stress that, you know, you see some of our veteran populations go through. And it makes a lot of sense. We have an empty lodge at the moment, and there's a need for those nurses and doctors and medical staff to stay and find a bed to lay their head down when they're away from their families, and we can provide that. So we're stepping in to do the best we can.
And they can walk to work.
That's right. There you go.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention? Are you able to kind of maintain your staff at this point?
You know, it's a combination of some of our staff that are able to work from home have had no impact at all. We've had some reduced hours in some of our staff, and then we have a couple that are out on furlough at the moment. We're also working right now and trying to understand the CARES Act and how we might qualify for some of those payroll protection plan dollars that are available. If we would be able to make that happen in the next few days, we would bring back even those staff on furlough and get them reassigned to some other projects in work-from-home environments.
Okay. All right. Kevin, anything else?
No, thanks for having us on. And, you know, we'll keep you posted as to when we fire programs in person back up.
All right. Hopefully soon. Thank you, Kevin.
Hopefully soon. Thanks,
Leslie. KPCW News Time now, 8:41. Good morning. Well, 3 weeks ago, Utah students and teachers had the rug pulled out from them. They're all still standing, but gravity feels a bit different now. Instead of meeting in a classroom, students are logging onto their computers for the day's lessons. On the phone with me, I have three local teachers. From Park City High School, I have English teacher Steve Cutita and science teacher Megan McKenna. And from Wasatch County Wasatch High School, I have math teacher Carrie Bala. Good morning, and thanks all for joining in this morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Okay, Megan, let's start with you. How's it going for you as Park City High School science teacher?
Hi, good morning, Leslie. Thanks for having us on. It's going, I think, pretty well for us, considering the circumstances. I think it's been a little bit easier transition for the New York City School District than probably a lot of other districts around the country and even the state right now.
Yeah, and Carrie, a district spokesman John Moss had told us that remote learning is something the district's been working on for years. Was it something for you that came on together pretty quick? Was it that easy?
It certainly came on quickly, I would say, but all students have had devices now for several years, and teachers have been working to develop online platforms for each of their classes. But it still was quite a shock, I would say.
Yeah. And then how about you, Steve? How's it going for you?
You know, I think like everyone else, you know, we're adjusting, we're adapting, we're improvising and figuring out what works in this new environment and what doesn't work. And it's been a big learning curve. You know, I've never tried to teach remotely. Canvas is a helpful tool. The laptops are certainly helpful. But the challenges are just so different not being in the classroom than when you actually see the students every day or every other day.
Yeah. And maybe just a response from some of you. I mean, do you think, Megan, is it some subjects a little bit more difficult to teach remotely than others? I mean, it seems to me like science would be pretty challenging. You've got lots of photos and diagrams and labs. I mean, how do you handle all of that?
Yeah, I think every content area is going to have different challenges. I think it, in some ways science might be easier to teach, and then in some ways it's a lot more challenging. Like Carrie said, we do have a lot more resources now available to us online, and we've been doing more stuff through Canvas. But like Steve mentioned too, there's definitely challenges of not being able to be there in the classroom. I've been using some virtual labs and different tools like that, but it's also maybe been easier in some ways to bring content in that relates to what's going on in the world right now. You know, for example, in my biology class, we're learning about genetics, and so learning about how the virus has evolved, or in environmental science, we're learning about pollution, and so how pollution has been impacted by the virus and changes in our behavior. So I think everyone's got their challenges, just maybe different depending on what you teach.
Sure. And then I was going to say for you, Steve, it would seem maybe a little bit easier. I mean, assign a book, go read it, come back, we'll have an online discussion, and then write me an essay, or it's not that simple.
Yeah, I naively thought something similar when we started. I thought, you know, for an English teacher, we can just assign readings, we can assign questions, we can have the online discussion. But what I overlooked, and looking back, of course, as you see, is that, you know, the reading process isn't just assigning a book and someone goes home and reads it and comes back and talks about it. It truly is a process of, like, what happened in chapter one to set up the setting and the characters and the plot, and let's talk about that, and let's make a prediction for chapter two or for the end of the book, and let's talk about this character. And reading is kind of a very... It's an activity that you can't just sit down and do and then talk about afterwards. I think it's something you need to talk about as you're doing it. And so we get that in school. We get to read a couple chapters or a couple excerpts and then talk about it, then read something else and talk about it. And that's what I've really missed. You know, I have kind of an online meeting with my students once a week, but it's just not the same as seeing them frequently and being able to check in with them and really even just seeing their faces when you talk to them and having that conversation to see if there is that comprehension. So that's been a challenge. I do think the content we can deliver somewhat easier. We're not in front of a board or a whiteboard teaching a lesson, maybe like a math teacher doing a lab, like a science teacher. So maybe the delivery of content is easier, but we really miss that interaction within the classroom. And there's just, you can try to replicate it in an online kind of setting, but it's just not the same as walking around the classroom, seeing all the students.
Yeah, and being math challenged, Carrie, I feel for the kids that are like me. I mean, you don't have then that huge whiteboard in the classroom to kind of work through the math problems. I mean, basically, you've got to stay in some kind of video frame to make that happen.
In terms of like a lecture or pushing out the content, we pretty much make a screencast. So it's like you see the notebook and you can hear a voice as we're filling out the notes. And so we have that. I try to have an open tutorial where kids can zoom in or call in every day and ask specific questions. But like Steve said, it really is amazing to see what's missing when you are not all together. There's so much learning that takes place in the interaction between students and students and teacher that has certainly been the biggest challenge. I think putting the content out there, again, there's a learning curve, learning the technology. I've had some snafus already, but that pushing that out there is okay, but making sure that kids actually connect with me or connect with each other in some way is certainly going to be my focus going forward, because I feel like that is really the most important thing and how students can learn and work through a challenging subject like mathematics.
Yeah. And maybe we can just run through with each of you, Megan, starting with you and then to Steve and then Carrie. What has been for you the most challenging part of this? Was it just coming up with the content and how you're going to push it out?
For me, not really the content. I think I'm teaching pretty much the same content, definitely not as much as I would be in the classroom. You're just a little bit more limited with the amount that you can do online. But I would say that would be similar. Probably the biggest challenge is similar to what we've mentioned, is not getting that direct feedback from students that you would normally in the classroom. So really figuring out, like, what are they getting it? Are they following it? Is this too much? Do I need to slow down? And so that for me has probably been the biggest challenge, just not getting that direct feedback from the students.
And then for you, Steve, I mean, are there technology challenges or anything else that specifically kind of hit you?
You know, honestly, I think that technology has been fairly smooth. I think the tools are all there. I think what I think a lot of us struggle with is the human element. We got into teaching because we liked being around students and colleagues and going to the building and having that environment of learning. And that's been kind of just swept away from under our feet. And we're trying to find like solid ground, and it's tough to be kind of an online teacher when you're used to being a teacher in the building. I really just miss seeing my classes and seeing the other teachers in the halls and that sort of it. I think the tech is all there. Online classes have existed for, you know, a couple decades now, and they've been relatively successful even at the college level. But I think for a lot of us, it's not what we signed up for. It's not what we enjoy doing. But I do think the tools are there, and I do think students and teachers and administration can and will adapt. And I think students are getting the content, but I think at the same time, the kids I've talked to, what they miss is going to school and seeing their friends and being in that environment. As much as, you know, they might complain about school and love vacations, I think they're all recognizing now that, you know, we really do, for the most part, enjoy going to school and being there. And I think that human element is huge for us. And I think it is for a lot of people, not just teachers, but a lot of professions. Something about going into work and being there, being physically present. You know, we miss that a lot.
Yeah. Carrie, would you say the same thing? I mean, just in terms of what you're feeling from the kids, maybe they didn't realize how much they did like school?
Very similar. That's the feedback that I'm getting. And I would say one of my biggest challenges is making sure that 4 to 5 kids per class that typically try to hide, and when you're there in a classroom, you can pull them into the conversation, just being able to find them and make sure that they connect, and making sure that you have all students with you is the biggest challenge, because we don't have that community energy that we have in the classroom. So that's been the hardest thing.
Yeah. Are you guys seeing good attendance? I mean, are kids willingly coming on to check in and participate?
You know, we can check on Canvas to see their attendance.
I would not say good. I would say certainly lower than the regular classroom setting. I'll say at Park City, at least at the high school, our admin has done a great job of kind of shepherding kids that haven't been turning work in and haven't been showing up on Canvas. Like, they'll reach out to kids and say, have you heard from so-and-so? And I feel like, I don't know if that's what their job has become at this point, but that's really what they've focused on is, like Carrie said, these kids that can kind of hide in the classroom, now they are literally hiding, and it's hard for us to, you know, we can call home, we can email, but it's been tough to find them. So that is a big challenge. And I do think, you know, if I took attendance on Canvas, which we're not doing at Park City, it would certainly be significantly less than, you know, in the regular setting.
Yeah. Are you seeing the same thing, Megan?
Yeah, I would say the same thing as Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, how much is this then adding to your regular workload? Can you talk a little bit about that, Carrie? I mean, is it a lot more work? Because I had one teacher tell me she feels like she's working 24/7.
Certainly, when we first transitioned, it was a series of very long days and very intense days where we were working so hard just to make sure we had something up and running for students as quickly as possible. And as we get into week three now of this, we're really starting to talk among colleagues about balance and having specific times when we should be responding to emails or specific times when we should be online and available. And because it has become really stressful for a lot of teachers, but I do think over the last couple weeks, just the amount of hours of preparation has gone down a little bit now that the technology is becoming a little bit more familiar and a lot of the prep work has been done for the next couple of weeks, then that day-to-day time is coming down and it can be more focused on feedback to students.
Yeah. And Megan, we've got spring break coming up. I mean, as school dismissal for kids in Park City School District, I mean, what happens then? It seems like, you know, something was sort of normal, you know, these last 3 weeks, or at least becoming more normal. And now we just kind of disperse them and hope to start back up, you know, a week from Monday.
Yeah. There is some discussion about that. Some people in the community thought maybe we shouldn't have spring break. But I think just in what Carrie said, too, I think we probably all really do need a break. But it is going to look different. And so that's definitely something that we've all been considering is how to keep our students engaged, you know, socially over the break if we're all staying at home for the break. And we're all kind of trying to come up with some ways that we can give students some things to do or ways to stay connected, but still allowing them, you know, time off. And I think that's going to be important for all of us as we come back from this break is kind of recharging and getting ready to do the next couple of weeks online. I know I'll have to do some work to be planning, but I also plan on taking a little bit of time off of the laptop, too, just for my own sanity.
Yeah, and for both you and Steve and Carrie feeling the same way?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
go ahead, Steve.
Go ahead, Carrie.
Okay.
I was going to say, I think it'll be good for us to have a little break to just, we can look at these past 3 weeks and say, you know, this I'm going to do again, and this I'm definitely not. So it gives us a little bit of time to reflect, and we can come back for that last, you know, month of school or so, month and a half of school. How much do we have? I guess we have more than that left. Those last 7 weeks or whatever, and maybe just decide, like, this is kind of the route I'm going to take. So it gives us a little time to have some perspective.
Okay. Hey, Steve, I want to ask you, because I think you do teach AP English.
Mm-hmm.
Can that testing still happen? I mean, are kids able to take their classes?
Yes, and the College Board said they're going to come out with information. I believe it's going to be on Monday. I think they said somewhere around April 5th or 6th. They were leaning towards an at-home test in which parents would proctor. It would be a lot shorter than the regular test. They were going to cut out some elements of the test, but we haven't heard final word. We should know by next week
The College Board has provided a lot of online resources that students can access via their website, practice tests, practice rubrics, things like that. So they are planning on going forward with the tests. What they will look like, I think, has not yet been determined. As soon as we know that, of course, we'll pass it out to parents and students, and we should know relatively soon.
There was a webinar last night by College Board, and they did put out the information. So there are actually specific test dates, and each test will be online, and it will be 45 minutes, and it will all be like short answer or essay. And so they talked about how the format would be much different than traditional, because students obviously would have resources with them, but they just talked about the specifics for each course. And so I think that that information will be on their website this afternoon.
Okay. Parents can check there. I just want to spend the last minute or two that I have here. In terms of any silver linings, you know, we're kind of hearing about that and everything we're doing. I mean, have you heard from parents saying, you know what, we don't pay you guys enough now that we know what it's like? Anything, Megan, that... silver lining
for you? Yeah, I would say I've definitely heard some feedback from students and parents that's been surprising and really nice to hear too. I've heard a lot of gratitude from students and saying, you know, they appreciate the work that we're doing and that they really miss the class and the interaction, and that's been really great to hear. I think like Steve mentioned before, I think a lot of students didn't realize how much they actually enjoyed school.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the same for us teachers, too. I think all of us being away from school are realizing how important that interaction is. And so it's been nice to hear those words from parents and students and from colleagues.
Yeah. And Kara, anything, any good news out of this?
Yeah, I would say just the focus on making social connections a priority, as we all feel that it's just such an improvement on our day if we can make a social connection of some kind. I think the technology has really helped to be able to connect with people close to us and far away, and so that we don't feel so separated.
And Steve, anything for you?
You know, I'm just going to add, like, on a personal level, my wife is working from home. I'm working from home, and we have three kids that are also, you know, they're trying to do their schoolwork from home. And I think that's kind of been a very unique and kind of nice time where we're all together. We have every meal together. We're just spending a lot of time together. And, you know, if there is a silver lining, it's that a lot of us have hectic lives and we're busy and we may not see our family as much as we hope that we could. And, you know, now we're kind of forced upon each other, and for some of us, that's a really good thing, and maybe something that we'll look back at in a few years and say, hey, you know, you remember that COVID-19 time? Like, we really bonded at that time, and I think that could be true for a lot of different families.
Well, we appreciate all of you guys. I mean, one more time, that teachers once again stepping up to the challenge. So carry on. Thank you again for your time this morning.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie.
We've been talking with Park City High School teachers Steve Cadita and Megan McKenna, and also Carrie Bala from Wasatch High School. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW.